Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation and enlightening guests, and I'm glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy, and that means no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you're here for a reason. And I hope that something in the next hour opens a door for you and helps you move forward. What if you could learn to see someone's illness and identify the core issues involved? Well, my guest on today's show is master healer and clairvoyant Wendy Coulter. She teaches medical intuition and she knows you can. We'll talk about her personal journey, get some practical tools that you can use to begin to focus on intuitive connection for health, and examine some of the common underlying causes for illness. Are you ready to meet her? Wendy Coulter is a master healer, clairvoyant, and medical intuitive. She's taught doctors, nurses, psychologists, therapists, and many other professionals how to use medical intuition in their practices. Wendy's a certified transformational coach and has training in many energy modalities. She's lectured and taught at prominent educational and health centers. You can find out more about Wendy and her work at thepracticalpath.com. Wendy, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you, Karen. What a thrill to be here.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're here. maybe the way I think I'd like to start is, can you tell us a little bit about your journey, how you came to be doing the work that you're doing? You don't come from a medical background, do you?
No, I don't, which is interesting because my classes are full of healthcare providers. I come from the music background. I was in music for a very long time and then became an executive in the music publishing industry. So I have that as a background, which is an interesting thing because most healthcare providers, even if they don't come from the traditional side or allopathic medicine, do come from a training that can be quite corporate, you know, in scope. So a lot of people who work in hospitals or bring their modalities into hospitals are very familiar with the corporate structure, which is quite dysfunctional. And I have a background in that as well, so I can relate to that sort of thing when it comes to just perceiving energy and what goes on around us when we're healers. People who work, you know, in the holistic world as energy workers often don't have that background either. They don't have that background, so it's not quite an issue for them. But yeah, I came up in through music, and interestingly, had clairaudience, which is intuitive hearing, as one of my earliest intuitive traits.
That's very cool, because when you're dealing with music, you're listening for the right pitch, or you're feeling your way into the mood or the flow of the melody. And a lot of times when something goes wrong with our physical body, we kind of drag ourselves off to the doctor and they run through a checklist, and it's very different than listening for where it sounds right or where it doesn't sound right.
That's a good way to put it, actually. Not just listening, but feeling and hearing and sensing and, you know, getting information, through your cognizant senses. And I can talk a lot about the different kinds of intuition that we have to use that humans are pretty naturally hardwired for.
Do you believe that everybody has intuitive ability?
Yes, indeed. I know it for a fact. We're born with intuitive senses, and many of us have different kinds. And like I said, as a child, I heard music from a very young age, and in my head just received it. Didn't know that I had some kind of special skill until one day. I have a memory one day. I was about 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old, and I was humming a song in my head, and I asked my mom to turn the radio on, because there was this song that I liked that was playing. And she turned it on, and of course there was the song right there in that spot. And I found that I could do that over the years, but I will tell you that by the time I reached my teenage years, my preteen years, my girlfriends would look at me like I had, you know, three heads and came from another planet. I stopped talking about it because I thought it was something everybody could do. It turns out it wasn't. And that's what a lot of intuitive people that's the kind of story a lot of intuitive people have. They have these extra senses, and they think it's normal, and then at some point in their life, they're told it isn't, and they stop. And that's very, very common.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I know for me that I heard my guides at a very early age, and one of my first memories of my deep spiritual path was telling my guides to shut up and go away, because mm-hmm. it was weird and it was distracting, and I was already so painfully strange that this having this other extra thing was just too much, and so I did what I could to shut everything down.
Yeah, that's the story just about everyone that I've ever talked to and I've ever taught has in some fashion, and that would be called clairaudience, what you're describing, listening to the voices of your guides, similar to what I had with music. But there are all kinds of intuitive states. That's one. The one that most people, there's two that most people relate to, which I'll talk about if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the first one is called claircognizance, meaning clear knowing. And that is something that just about everybody has, because we have these experiences of when we're thinking about someone we love, a loved one or a family member or a friend, and then they call us or email us almost instantaneously or the next day at the very most. That's an intuitive connection that we tend to discount or call, what do we call it, synchronicity or coincidence. But really, it's not. It's claircognizance, a sense of knowing. We see this with mothers and children, mother's intuition or women's intuition. These things have been called all kinds of things over the eons. But that's called claircognizance, just getting a knowing. I'll tell you who has very, very strong claircognizance are nurses, because they're actually told to use their instincts, but they're not told how to use them. So they can see a patient and just get a knowingness that something's not quite right. And that's an interesting thing. I've talked to and taught them, and they all say that they get these hits of knowingness. It's not even a visual thing. It's just that they know something's not right. That's claircognizance. The other one that most energy workers or energy medicine people have, or anyone who studies an energy modality, they get to develop their sense of clairsentience, meaning clear feeling, meaning they get information through their own emotional or physical senses. And that is a really common one. And if you're the kind of person that is like the shoulder to cry on that everybody talks to, and tells their troubles to, and you identify as intuitive or empathic, generally speaking, that's what I call clairsentience. And the only pitfall of clairsentience is, there's several in my view, but the main one is that you can feel like a completely soaked sponge at the end of the day, because you've really taken on everyone's energetic information. And that's a real problem for people in the healthcare world, massage therapists, nurses, even psychologists, that are just sort of soaking in with, if they don't have any tools, to mitigate that, they can really be burdened by the sentient sense, intuitive sense.
And that, over time, one of the things that I'm passionate about and that I work with my students on is techniques to clear and release stuff so that you are only carrying what is yours. And so at the end of the day, whether you're an intuitive or a healer or a nurse or an accountant even, if you're empathic, that you don't have to carry all that stuff around. If you leave that in place and you're a soaked sponge all the time, can that eventually kind of twist itself into illness in the physical body of the empath?
Without question. A lot of old school psychics, right, have a lot of weight on them. This is like the old school psychic, because there's no ability or awareness or training in what I call energy hygiene. So extra weight can translate as buffer zone, kind of protection sometimes. But even if that's not part of your physical makeup, if you're out there in the field doing all this work and interacting with the public, and anybody interacting with the public is going to have some version of this, yes, if you don't practice grounding and releasing and cleaning out your own energy systems, for sure. A lot of that I see, honestly, Karen, in third chakra overload, just really intense. And for the real psychic folks, the real clairvoyant ones, the ones that are using their sixth chakra, there's a lot of sixth chakra overload going on out there. So, you want to make sure that you have tools. And I do teach a series of tools on my website. It's called the Energy Essentials Series. And these are a series of short audios, guided meditations, where I teach you how to ground and how to clean your energy and how to connect with your guidance and how to put up some protection layers of energy around you so you're not buffeted or bombarded, you know, by other people's energy.
There's a lot going on in the world today, and I think a lot of people are tuned into news 24/7, whether that's to our benefit or not. I think there's a pull into that area. For empaths, at least people who I speak with, there's a talk of that people talk about feeling overwhelmed and feeling very anxious and feeling like they're, it kind of takes us all to a place where we might feel like we're holding the whole world and what we're holding is not positive. Is there something you could suggest for someone who maybe is, who just turned off the news and is listening to this podcast about how they could how they could clear themselves? Please turn off the news and listen to this podcast, by the way.
You know, when all this began, however long ago, you know, a year or so and a half ago when we had the elections and all that, yes, it was very anxiety-producing for a lot of people. And I have friends who refuse to listen to the news no matter what. They just want the headlines and that's it, you know, because they feel like they need to keep their energy, you know, more calm and balanced. I kind of come from the other perspective in that if we look around at things in our life and we say, not that, not that, not that, what we're doing is we're still putting ourselves in the position of disempowering. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, we're looking at something and we're going, I don't have resources to handle this, therefore I'm not going to look at it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I would, in many cases, agree with that. But we want to develop our energy to the point where we have the kind of skills and tools that we can look at anything and everything. And the reason I say that, Karen, is because as a medical intuitive, guess what I get to look at? Anything and everything. And if I'm looking in someone's energy and they have some kind of really awful early sexual abuse or emotional abuse or physical abuse going on in their lives, that happened at some point in their history where trauma was created and brought forth, if I can't look at that clearly, I'm not going to be a good medical intuitive. So it's part of my training and how I train people to be able to look at anything and everything and keep your energy clear and balanced. Now, that's a real unusual stance, but that comes with the skill of clairvoyance, which is what I teach from the medical or the healthcare perspective. So when I look out at the world, what I get is not overwhelmed and depressed by it, even though, boy, oh boy, you sure can, is I get energized by it. Sounds weird, but the energy comes from a sense of wanting to fix what is wrong, right? So I didn't worry when my students and my community and myself got angry at some of the things that we saw, because anger is a very motivating force. You can't dwell in it, but it can certainly be a springboard. And as long as you have your energy hygiene tools and you're really keeping your energy clean, you won't get sucked into this sort of emotional vortex that's going on right now where people really feel dragged down by it. I look at this whole shift that's happening right now, and stop me anytime here because I could go on for a while. I look at this whole shift that's happening in the U.S., in the United States, and on the planet with climate change and, you know, political factioning and all this stuff. And I look at it as an evolution of our species, of humans. You know, we're really being called upon to make decisions about our survival, you know, and our how our planet is going to move forward, how our society is going to move forward. Whatever side of the fence you're on politically or emotionally, whatever, it's really important to look at what's happening right now. It's an important time, and we all chose to come here and be here for this. And I appreciate everyone's contribution, whether I agree with it or not, because it's furthering the conversation. So that's my perspective.
there's also a feeling, I think, if you have those tools, if you're using those tools, if you're grounding yourself, protecting yourself, if you're, I'm a nut about daily spiritual practice, if you're in that daily spiritual practice, if you're keeping it clean, it means that you can look at anything and know that you don't look at it alone. So you look at it, yes, with your intuitive tools, but you're also looking at it with the help of your spiritual support team, whether that's your guides or whatever floats your boat, that we don't look at any of this alone. And I think when we stay in anger and we stay in those kind of, I don't want to say lower, like some are bad and some are good, mm-hmm. but when you stay in something with anger, which is small and tight, you don't have you're not aware of your team with you as much as you mm-hmm. are if you can release that into a kind of receiving of whatever it is and discernment. And there's a difference there. And so those tools that you're talking about, as I feel in my own practice, those are very powerful to let you look at whatever it is that you need to see, whether that's a mm-hmm. cupcake or something scary.
I like the cupcake theme here.
I'm very focused. Yeah, we have cupcakes in the studio. I'm very focused on the cupcakes.
Cupcakes are wonderful.
There are.
Yeah, I will completely agree with you on that, Karen. And anger is only a place to leap off of. Use it as a rocket fuel. Don't dwell in it. Don't dwell in the negative emotional state. You want to raise your vibration. That's a lower vibration energy for sure. But it can be quite motivating. And that motivation, if it's positive motivation for you to, you know, work on your local level, on your personal level, on your own awareness of, you know, world events and all that sort of thing. Well, that's part of, listen, you know, our guides, this is my experience, my guides anyway, my guidance will always, the focus of my guidance is to move me personally along my spiritual path, right? That's kind of what our guides do for us. They help us move along our spiritual path so we can, you know, experience what we decided to come here for and all of our wonderful life lessons and all that great stuff. And, you know, raise compassion and raise healing and all those wonderful things. Well, guess what? We're not only doing it on a personal level, we're doing it on a global, a planetary level. That's part of why we chose to be here in the first place, from my view. Now, that might be too big and too, you know, might feel like, you know, too much responsibility, and that's fine. It doesn't have to be that way. But on the level that our guides are working, yeah, that's what it is.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree. And it allows us, and of course, we don't have to live that whole responsibility all in one go.
No.
You live it one breath at a time, which also gives you time, whether as a healer or as an empath or as a parent or a teacher or a nurse or whatever it is that you, however you show up and serve in the world. Understanding that you're doing it one breath at a time always gives you time to retool. If you do see something scary, if something comes up that bothers you, if something comes up that transports you, you can always take that breath and just do it one little bit at a time. Otherwise, you'll get swamped with the good stuff and with the not so great stuff.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. The other thing is that there is a spiritual truth that I've lived by, and that is, you know, when we raise our own vibration and we clean out our own energy every day, we do our meditation, we do our grounding work, and we don't let, you know, we do what we need to do so that we can have a raised vibration no matter what's going on. We actually, just by the act of doing that, the one breath at a time, we raise the vibration of the world around us.
Yes.
You know, that's a very, kind of broad, realistic way to look at energy vibration and how to raise it, you know, on the planet. What is it? Abraham Hicks says you can lie on a, you know, on a hammock on an island and pet your cat and, you know, raise your own vibration, and the world around you raises its vibration as well because of your actions. So you're petting your cat action. And I love that because I, you know, from an energy standpoint, I think that's absolutely right on.
When we think about medical intuition. So we talked about clairsentience and claircognizance, clairaudience, clairvoyance. When you talk about medical intuition, what is that specifically?
Specifically, it's clairvoyance, the clear seeing. And what a medical intuitive, how I teach medical intuition is to teach people how to view the physical body, meaning to scan all the physicality, the body systems, the anatomy, down to the cellular level. That's the visual part. And then there is the other part. I'll talk about that first. What that is if someone comes to me and says, you know, I have an issue with my digestion. Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look at their digestive system. I'm going to look at their gut microbiome. I'm going to look to see how the food is digesting in the stomach, if there's any inflammation anywhere, how everything is working together. I'm also going to look at their immune system, their lymphatic system, to see how their their gut imbalance, if there is one, how their immune system is helping it or not. You know, does it need support? How these systems interact with each other, and how other systems interact with that, because the body is incredibly connected. The gut-brain connection is, you know, pretty scientifically proven, and many other connections as well. So on the physical side, that's job number one of the medical intuitive. But job number two is looking for the roots of the issue. And that is actually twofold. One is the physical roots. So, you know, if there is a gut imbalance, I'm going to look to see if the microbiome, you know, what's going on there, is there parasites, is there this or that, that kind of stuff, I'll get a look at. So that's like a roots of an issue. Is there stress that's leading to this imbalance, you know, what's going on in their life, and many other aspects that affect the physicality. On the emotional side, I'm going to look for the traumas in their life experience that caused this imbalance to manifest in the first place. And many times, in fact, most of the time, it goes back to childhood experience, sometimes even in vitro experience, or times in their life where an impact, emotional, traumatic, it can be physical as well, but it always has an emotional component, sort of goes forward. It's like following a story back in time and then forward again to see where it applies to the person's physicality now. And that is where real healing happens, because what that does is knowing the roots of an issue allows for people to give themselves more permission to heal. There's a big misunderstanding, I think, or non-aware, what's the word? It's like a non-opportunity in many ways in the energetic healing field, because what energy healers are doing is they're just moving out congestion. They're moving out whatever comes in, you know, whatever they can feel or discern in the energy field or the physical aspects. But getting to the roots of it is where they may or may not get, because people can walk out of your office and come right back next the following week with the same issue.
Yes.
And that's why getting to the roots of it from a medical intuitive perspective is so valuable for people, because their permission level raises. It opens up the door to a deeper kind of healing.
And it sounds to me as if that takes place with the full agreement of the person who is being healed. So if there isn't an agreement to receive healing at that level, whatever that is, the level of trauma or wherever we are, that healing can't be received.
Well, the interesting part, what you're talking about is, yes, I call it permission, agreement, permission, same idea. No energy, no one working with energy, or actually in any healthcare field, you have to have the either energetic, verbal, whatever, agreement and permission of the client. So absolutely, but permission is a really interesting concept. And that has to do with something that I look at. So the other thing I look at from a medical intuitive perspective is, where is their permission level?
Mm-hmm.
How much permission do they have? What is their agreement for health here in this particular issue in their life? And very often I see very low permission level. So that my next question would be, not to them personally, but to their guidance, to their inner, to their energy, to their physical body, well, what's stopping the permission here? And that's a real missing piece in energy work, is finding out what's stopping the permission level. Because we want people to, you know, be able to move through their issues and find healing and balance. But that permission level can be really hard to find if you don't use the medical intuitive tools.
This is fascinating. I'm wondering, a question that comes up right away when you talk about scanning the physical system is whether or not I would need to have a complete and thorough understanding of human anatomy from the skin into the cellular, because that just, I just got terrified right there. And
you, I know, it terrifies a lot of people. The answer is no, I don't.
Oh, good.
I didn't go to medical school, and neither did Caroline Mace,
right,
who is the godmother of medical intuition. She was a dancer or something like that. I don't remember what her history is, but she was not from the medical field. There are a lot of medical intuitives out there that are not. And you don't have to be. What I teach in my program is the basic 9 major body systems. There's actually 11, but I go over 9, body systems, and we just go over basic things. Okay, what is the digestive system? What are the organs of the digestive system? What are they supposed to do when they're working properly? You know, what does this look? We all know what a picture of a lungs look. You know, we've all seen it, pictures of lungs, you know, pictures of the heart. And that's pretty much all we need. I use a textbook called The Anatomy Coloring Book in the course because, number one, coloring books are just fun and they take the fear out of it. And it's just a reference point. I use these pictures of the anatomy, the different systems, as a map, literally a map. That's all I want to do is just look and see, well, where's the liver? Okay, it's on this side. Where are the kidneys? Okay, they're in the back. That's all I need to know, really, so that I know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at it.
And Wendy, we're right. Part of the map of this program is that we're right up against the break. And so we're just going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, and I'm talking with Wendy Coulter. She's a master healer. She's a medical intuitive, and her website is thepracticalpath.com. When we come back after this break, I want to talk to Wendy about some practical tools we can use to get a look at our own bodies and much more. We'll be right back after this.
Arr! We be under attack. Man the long knives.
Prepare to be boarded.
Arr! Flagship starboard bow.
What? No, not by the enemy flagship. By garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. It flows in from rivers and drain pipes. Many of folk don't know that when they throw trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. How can I enjoy Sail Me Bonnie Seas with all this trash in it? Why, there's soda pop bottles, plastic bags, even stinky leftover takeout. Fire at will, men! Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. If you don't, I'll make you walk me plank. Nah, just kidding. Seriously, though, learn more what you can do to keep the oceans healthy at keepoceansclean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
The Empower Meditation Channel. Nonstop meditation music 24 hours a day in the new Empower Radio app. Music to empower your meditation, help you relax, sleep, or provide a calm background while you work. The Empower Meditation Channel is interruption-free. Listen now with the Empower Radio app, free in the App Store, or listen online at empower.fm. Soothe your soul, calm your mind. The Empower Meditation Channel.
Today might be the day I drop out of school. Today could be the last day I try. My parents alone can't stop me. My friends can't even stop me. But you might be able to. With United Way, you could tutor me, be my mentor, or volunteer to just read with me. If someone had helped me earlier, I might not be struggling. And studies prove that kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. There are tons of ways people like you can help kids like me stay in school. And United Way is calling for you to be one of them. Because it takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between me becoming one or the other could be you. Make me a success, not a statistic.
Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. So mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Underwear always comes first, name tag on the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole or you have to start all over. Socks go on first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops, the rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But 2 minutes twice a day, making sure they brush their teeth, is easier, and it could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. Visit 2min2x.org to find out more. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
And now, back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and I'm talking with Wendy Coulter. She is a medical intuitive, a clairvoyant, and a master healer, and you can find out more about Wendy and her work at thepracticalpath.com. While you're on her site, take a look at the Energy Essentials series, which is a series of audios to help you learn some of the basic tools that we talked about in the first half of the program. So, Wendy, before the break, you were kind of we sort of broke down for us the way that a medical intuitive looks at a client or looks at the patient, starting with scanning the physical level from the skin to the cellular level, and then looking at what's held underneath, what are the root issues. And I'm wondering, you said luckily we don't need to know a lot of anatomy, that's good. I'm wondering when you're teaching students to visualize this, the physicality, that's the right way to say it. So I'm clairvoyant and I'm a professional intuitive in my work. A lot of what I receive is in metaphor, as in symbol, is in color or sound or words that mean something to me that I'm then supposed to pass along. When students work with your method, are they visualizing the literal gallbladder of the person that they're working with, or is it a metaphor? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get what you mean. And I think most clairvoyants out there will understand what you're talking about. And one of the great things about clairvoyant training is learning to visualize symbols and things like that. So the answer to that is both. So not only am I looking at, you know, we started with intestines, am I looking at the large intestine, the small intestine, and I'm sort of going in there like, you know, the old movie where you get really small and you go in and you look at things. So not only is it journey into the body, but it's also metaphorical. So I will see whatever the body wants to show me. And sometimes it'll show me literal representations of inflammation and lesions and bone scars and, you know, physical scarring and things like that. And sometimes I'll see metaphoric or symbolic representations of that. Like, for example, I looked at someone's kidney some time ago, and it looked like a dried up prune. Well, it was not a dried up prune. It was a functional kidney, but it was in need of hydration and a few other things and some minerals and whatnot. So it came forward as a visual symbol. However, I can ask it to show me what it really looks like in real time as an actual kidney, functional kidney, as well. Because who's in charge here? You know, I'm going to look at what the body wants to show me, but I can also ask questions and get more clarity. So both is the answer to that wonderful question.
And can anybody do this? I mean, that it's it's amazing to me because it's very, you're talking about not pretending to scan someone and then making something up. Oh, it looks like you need to drink a glass of water. You're talking about actually visualizing the physical and energetic function of another human being. So can anybody do this?
Yes. That's the most wonderful thing about this. With the right teaching, you know, it's like learning a language. You know, if you go to Italy and you don't know a speck of Italian, you're going to be like, I don't know, right? You know? But if you learn Italian, you're going to be able to discern things. You're going to be able to pick up words and even construct sentences. And, you know, of course, with our little, you know, with our iPhones and our translator things, we don't need to do that. But if you really wanted to learn the language and all the subtleties of it, you would study. And the same thing is goes for clairvoyance and medical intuition in specific. It is an absolutely learnable skill. And the reason why it seems so outlandish is because it's not commonly taught. You know, we don't have a society that understands intuition to start with. You know, I would love to see a world where kids who have an bent for intuition are given after-school programs to learn how to develop their intuition. It's a very usable skill, just like they would be taken to, you know, math class or, you know, extracurricular sports or things like that, or art or drawing. Same thing. You know, it's just a developable skill. And I have taught, Karen, the most skeptical people, and doctors, bless their hearts, are extremely skeptical, as are nurses, people from the traditional allopathic community who have had these what I call flashes of insight. They get hits, you know, cognitively or sentiently or however, and they get information that they don't know how they got it, but we know it as intuitive ability. Well, that's developable, and so is the visual skill of clairvoyance.
How did you develop the medical intuition training program that you now teach?
I studied at a school in Santa Monica. It's a very venerable, like 40-year-old school of intuitive development, metaphysics, really. And I studied their clairvoyant program. This was back in 2000. I started studying there. I studied their energy medicine program and their clairvoyant training, which were two distinct programs. They had other programs everything they had. I was just really enraptured by it all. And then I became an instructor there. I was on their staff for 6 years, and I taught the clairvoyant program, and I taught the energy medicine program. But what I noticed over time was that in the energy healing community, there was not a clear understanding of what the visual sense can do. And that was the sort of the conjunction of the two, of clairvoyance and energy medicine, wasn't happening. And it's usually not taught that way. And when I look around at energy schools of training, I don't see clairvoyant training because it's not part of the curriculum. You don't need to have that skill to be a really good healer, because you don't. You can be a wonderful healer and never use clairvoyance at all. There's no reason to, unless you're going to study the skill of medical intuition. So I developed my program to really teach that art of intuitive seeing for healthcare providers, because this is where medicine really needs intuition. Imagine, Karen, if you went to your healthcare provider, whoever it was, whether it was an acupuncturist or an endocrinologist, and they were able, with the skill of medical intuition, to discern whether or not this treatment or that treatment, or this drug or that drug, or this protocol or that protocol would be better for your specific issues and your specific body. Wouldn't that be amazing? Number one. And number two, wouldn't it be incredible for a doctor to say, well, you've got an issue with hypertension, well, lower your stress level, and then, not just leave it at that,
right,
and say, here's where your stress level comes from. There's this history here of this sort of, issue and blah, 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 and here's where it comes from. So here are some recommendations for protocols. Maybe it would be EMDR, EFT, or seeing a psychologist, or working with meditation or mindfulness techniques. But a healthcare practitioner who has that holistic view, that is the promise. That's my soapbox. I want all holistic practitioners, all integrative practitioners, to have these skill sets so they can really be holistic practitioners for their clients and patients. Otherwise, what we have in the medical world and even in the energy field is tunnel vision. Everything is a nail to a chiropractor. They're the hammer, and they're going to... That's really the wrong analogy for a chiropractor, but you know what I mean.
A very naughty chiropractor. Bad chiropractor, bad.
everyone with their modality thinks that their modality is the best or the only or the one, blah, blah, blah. I have to tell you, when I get these wonderful cross-sections of people from the healthcare field in the program. So you'll be sitting next to a massage therapist, next to a licensed social worker, next to a nurse, next to a this or that or the other, all these people, and energy people, Reiki people, and healing touch people, and all that stuff too. So everyone comes to it with their own modality, but what everyone is learning is the foundational support system for their clients and patients so that they can truly be a holistic provider, right? And I'll never forget this one brilliant Reiki master. Wonderful man. He teaches Reiki. He's been in the field a long time. He is well respected. And he came to me at one point in the program and he said, I had this weirdest revelation. I realized that Reiki may not be the right thing for everyone. And that was big for him, because in his belief about Reiki and what he found in his own career, that Reiki was perfect for everything. It didn't matter what you had. And he realized that some people's bodies and some people's issues may work better with else. But that gave him, as a practitioner, tools to be able to serve the client and the patient most effectively. That was a long-winded way to answer your question.
No, but it's so fascinating, because what I like about what you're sharing, it's delightfully disruptive. Isn't it? In the best way, like the most healing possible way. It's disruptive to the standard kind of that allopathic medical system. And it's disruptive, it sounds like, a little bit to our complacency as people who are energy workers, healers, light workers, whatever you want to call us. It's disruptive to us too. I like this, Wendy, because what it does is it's asking everybody to sit up and take notice, pay attention. There's more
here. And not get too caught up in your own modality. Honestly, my modality is called Biofield Balance Energy Healing. It's my own kind of amalgamation and downloading and whatnot of what I've learned over the years and what I've created for myself as an energy healer. It's not unlike pranic healing and other methods of healing through my palms. And I teach that a little bit in the level one as well, just so people who've never had an energy modality can try something. And for people who do have energy modalities, another tool for your toolbox, but it's a way to kind of enhance your intuitive abilities quickly. So when I look at someone's body and their issues and their history and their trauma points and all that jazz as a medical intuitive, I'm going to ask, is my modality effective for what they've got? Is it a yes or a no? You know, either it will be, or it will be and include other things, or it won't be at all and other things will be better for them. Well, what does that make me to the client? It makes me their trusted, you know, I use this term with healthcare practitioners, but it really is the stance of being a trusted health advisor, which is also the stance of functional medicine, integrative medicine, and those new concepts that are sort of permeating healthcare now, is that people want to have this broader knowledge so that they can really be that for their clients and their patients. And that is disruptive. That is disrupting like crazy, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, me too. Ooh, I love it. Because of the way things are now with healthcare and availability of healthcare and all that, we need to, as just people, be advocates for our own bodies, advocates for our own needs. There's a call for us as just people to be more aware of how we feel and why we might be feeling that way. I wonder if there is anything you can share with the listeners that might help us learn to take a look at our own bodies so that I wonder if you have any tools for how we can get more information for ourselves.
Thank you so much for asking that. That is a right on question. I have a guided meditation I'm going to really advise everyone to take a listen to who want to learn how to use visual skills for their own healthcare and their own self-care called Your Body's Wisdom. It's on the guided meditation site on the website. Your Body's Wisdom will walk you through a guided visualization you can do on your own once you've listen to it. You can do it on your own, where you get into a quiet meditative state, you ground, you breathe, and then you start visualizing as if you're looking on a computer screen a physical issue that you might have. And it's a good idea to get very specific. So if you have, for example, diabetes, that affects a lot of systems. But let's take a look at the pancreas, you know? So you want to go and look for a picture of pancreas so you know what it looks like. And then in your mind's eye, you're going to look at your pancreas and you're going to start to talk to it and see what it can tell you about what its function is and what it's, how it's functioning and what it wants you to know. So that kind of, and you know, who of us thinks to do that, right?
Right.
But there's so much information that we can discern from our own body systems. Once you get into that quiet, grounded, meditative state, it's fascinating. And that is really the cornerstone of medical intuition. That's really literally what I'm doing when I look at somebody else's physicality, is I'm asking similar questions. You know, and there's also in that particular meditation a little healing process as well. So you can start to send healing energy to those body organs or body parts or body issues. So it's pretty awesome. I really recommend people take a listen to it. I've had feedback from people who listened to it and used it of really pretty profound shifts for themselves and their understanding of their issues.
Is it always beneficial and never harmful to send healing energy in? You can't make anything worse, right? Like if I visualize my pancreas and I think it needs one thing and then it turns out I'm completely in left field, I can't hurt anything, can I?
Not in my experience. If we're doing it with ourselves, you know, healing energy is, you know, if you break it down, we're asking for the vibration to raise. That's it. That's really what we're doing. Whether we're sending in gold light or white light or color or, you know, whatever, energy from the stars or the universe, we're really asking for the vibration to raise so the functioning can be optimized. That's it. I've never seen anyone hurt themselves with energy visualization. You know, I haven't seen everything, but I haven't seen that. Where I've seen people can get a little off kilter is using energetic tools like crystals and, you know, elixirs and things like that. You really want to work with a sort of a qualified professional when you're using tools or herbs or, you know, even oils can be a little, you know, overwhelming to the body. So you want to make sure that you're working with people who really understand what they're working with when they're working with you. But on your own, look, one of the first things I used to do, and I used to counsel people before I really, when I was just doing energy work, is visualize, gold light coming in and filling your body and, going through your body and draining out your feet. That is just so beautiful, coming in through the top of your head, universal energy, just sparkling and cleaning everything out. You can even visualize it as a stream of water, bubbly, sparkly water, cleaning out everything. I used to do that before I went to sleep just to calm my body down. So I think visualization is a pretty benign tool, but, that's my perspective.
Well, and it for me, it goes back to that thing we talked about before about how it's not just you, that we don't do this alone. So when you're visualizing, when you're in that meditative state and when you've connected in a clean way, at least as I understand it, there are some safeguards built in when we go gently into our own bodies or whatever it is that we're doing. There's that we've set that intention that we do it for the highest and the best good, as you say, to raise the vibration. And it, I don't see that it could hurt you.
Well, I'm not an expert in that. I can just tell you that I've taught people, for many, many years how to do this technique. And I haven't heard anybody complain about that.
Yeah.
And I actually, so that would be something I just haven't run across.
Yeah. Well, and it's that trusting. It's our understanding that we have permission to check out our own energy fields, that we can go in there and take a look and nothing bad will happen. I think that's what I'm trying to get to, that you that this is your space and you are allowed to look at it. With intention.
One of the things, I'm sorry to interrupt. Yes, you're absolutely right. Intention is everything. And just about every energy healer I've ever run across does invoke the words highest good. That is absolutely a magic phrase for compassion and safety and intention. I'm less concerned about people working on themselves than other people working on them. That's you want to discern the energy of your healer and make sure it feels right to you. It feels like a good match. That's really important.
How do you tell if your healer is a good match?
Wow. Well, I have tools and skills I teach my classes, but I would say for the average person, trust your gut, trust your intuition. We all have that gut instinct, and I imagine your listeners are fairly well-versed in a lot of this, but even if they aren't, trust that little inside voice that says this isn't quite the right person. And sometimes you want to feel things out and try things a little and see how you feel. But my experience is that our bodies don't lie. They kind of tell us what's going on. Even if we are having trouble hearing it, there's always some information that we can discern.
Can you share with us, I'd love to hear a kind of a story or an example of how you might work with someone who came to you. Just to get an idea of the whole process and how it works on a real person.
Yes, absolutely. I have a number of stories I tell. I'll tell you one I wrote about in an article I wrote for an energy medicine journal. And this is a really interesting story because it talks about someone who has a present life chronic issue and the roots of it. And so this wonderful man came to me who had chronic back problems. And he'd had many surgeries, and he was in a lot of pain all the time. And he had no memory of when this started. He said it's been with him his whole life, right? And he didn't get any information from his parents, or there was no family stories about how this happened. He just knew that he was in pain from a very young age, and nobody believed him until he was in his teenage years, and he couldn't play sports. He couldn't even get out of bed. The back pain was so intense. And then, of course, rushed him to doctors and got on pain medications at a young age and, fought that whole addiction thing. And it was really a big mess. So when I looked at his back, his lower back, I did see, fused vertebrae and, a lot of issues. And I did see scarring from, surgeries and whatnot. But what he wanted to know was where this darn thing started and what he could do about it now. Fascinating to look at this. So I asked his guidance in his body where this thing started, and it showed me a scene from his life, which is the medical intuitive perspective. We want to look for these trauma points. What I saw was when he was a toddler, couldn't have been more than 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, he was toddling along, he fell off an embankment. He was with his older brother, and his parents weren't around. They were nearby, but they weren't watching. He fell off this little embankment and impacted his lower back on this concrete. It looked like, you know, the kind of parking thing that you drive your car up to and you park your tires against it, you know, in a parking lot. It was just, you know, a low concrete thing. And he fell onto it, onto his back, and it injured his lower back. Now, he was a little guy, right? And he cried, and there wasn't any understanding. He was almost, he wasn't pre-verbal, but it was in that kind of time where he really couldn't express himself. So that injury happened then, and there was pain, there was emotional trauma, physical trauma, and then the continuing pain of it that never healed. And then we had other scenes from his life where he was trying to explain how much pain he was in. And the doctors were saying, you can't, you're a kid. You can't be in that much pain, you know, blow it off. You know, that was the kind of information you heard. So not only did he have the physical trauma, he had this emotional trauma of not being heard, understood, grief, pain, frustration. All this stuff is caught in his back now. It's not just the inflammation and the damage to the spine and whatnot. So as he, you know, grew up, he started, you know, dealing with it on a medical level. And when he got to me, you know, his questions were, number one, you know, is this ever going to go away? You know, how can I, what can I do to help myself? And where did this begin? So the knowledge of where, and I'm looking at his permission level too, as we talked about earlier. Where's his permission to heal? You know, how much permission does he have to really release here? And then there's the physical issue of just literally what can happen with fused vertebrae and whatnot. Hearing from him, just to hear the origin of his issue was huge for him. His permission level just moved forward in an enormous way because it validated his experience, right? It just completely validated all those years of being told you're not feeling what you're feeling. So that was number one for him. So his permission level raised, and as it raised, I'm looking at his spine. I'm asking his, and not only his spine, but his muscles, and you know, all another more parts of his bone structure as well, and his muscular system. You know, what can we do here? And he'd been very resistant to things like acupuncture and certain other kinds of therapies, craniosacral, and things that could really help align. He'd just been resistant to it. You know, he felt that it couldn't help him. But his body was saying, these things can help. So I was telling him what I was seeing, what his body was saying, what his guidance was saying. And he left that session with a lot more information for himself on how to move forward in his healing process and an enormous shift in his energy in terms of his own self-acceptance because his third chakra was being impacted here. His own sense of self-worth and his own ability to understand and discern his own feelings, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, I know, it's powerful, isn't it?
It is. Oh my gosh. And I know we're coming up to the end, and I want to be sure, tell people, please, how to find you online and talk about these trainings now that you do.
Yes. The medical intuitive training is a 1-year program, but I break it up into 4-month chunks so people can, you know, because scheduling can be an issue sometimes. So if you can commit to 4 months, you can learn level 1, and then level 2 is another 4 months, and then there's a master intuitive program. Now, I teach these classes 1 weekend intensive per month for the 4-month chunk, the 4-month semester. And I teach in Los Angeles and San Diego, and people fly in from all over the country to take these weekend intensives. And there's more information about all this online. If people are listening and they have a group of 10 or more people in a location that they think want to do this sort of program, I will fly to you. I'll go to where there's enough people to hold the program and do it that way as well. But I don't teach online because I believe that this kind of skill set needs to be learned in the classroom with a teacher to help guide you through. And that's why it's a fast-track program. People learn very quickly in the room with me and their classmates. And we work on each other. We read each other. So there's a lot of hands-on. So it's not theoretical. It's very experiential. And they can find me on thepracticalpath.com. That's all one word. And the phone number is 877-433-6611. Oh, boy. I hope that's right. It's on the website.
Wendy, thank you so much for being on the program. What great fun to talk to you. And I thank you for sharing with us today.
Karen, thank you. What a pleasure. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. That is Wendy Coulter. She is a medical intuitive trainer and a clairvoyant and a master healer. Find out more about Wendy and her work at thepracticalpath.com. There are some guided meditations there for you to look into about your body's wisdom. You can also check out the medical intuition training that she offers in Los Angeles and San Diego. That's at thepracticalpath.com. And I invite you to check out my website as well. I'm at karenhager.com. Let me know your feedback about the show. And I appreciate you listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world. And a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.